Well, I'm sure we've all got things we're looking forward to. I know that we've kind of got it built in us from even growing up going to school. We look forward to the summer, to having a break, for some refreshment. And I do hope that this summer all of you do take different ways to make some memories, yes. to get refreshed, that hopefully a lot of you get to go to ICMC or different trips and traveling. And maybe some of you are taking summer classes or working a summer job, and that's good. And I hope those things do go well for you. And obviously, for all of us, a great hope is that this summer will be a time of spiritual growth for you. Amen. As well. Amen. And that you'll decide to use the summer to grow spiritually, to be an engaged part of this ministry, to help with our summer Bible talks, but also just to dig deeper into your personal walk with God and to grow spiritually. As Mark said earlier, the theme for the summer is soak up the sun. I got some theme music on. But the theme for the summer is soak up the sun. And as a ministry, we've gone through the book of Mark thoroughly. We went through Colossians and Philemon. We went through the whole book of Acts. And those have been awesome studies of those books of the Bible. But for this summer, we wanted to just open it up a little to have some messages on whatever aspects of Jesus we felt like we wanted to focus on the most. And it's always helpful to go back to just focusing on Jesus. So when we say soak up the sun, yes, let's get outside, let's get out of our homes, let's go soak up the actual sun a little bit and get refreshed by the weather and summer. But also, let's dig into our relationship with God and soak up the sun, who is Jesus. And so the title, the focus of my message this morning is Soak Up Jesus This Summer. That all of us would decide to soak up Jesus. As we know from the Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. It also says Jesus is the light of life. And any of us from just our own lived experiences know that our bodies, even our mental health, needs sunlight. It doesn't do good for us to just stay in closed, dark spaces indoors. It's right. Good to get outside in the sun. But also, as our bodies and as our mental health suffers for lack of sunlight, so too our faith will suffer for lack of spending time just soaking in Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the light of life, and He is who we need to keep focused on. And so our lessons this summer will be very focused on Jesus, so that our hearts, our minds, and our lives can be focused on Him as well. Amen?
Amen.
The first verse I want to read here, just to introduce this, is Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8 and verses 10 to 11. And it's good for us to try to take on the heart that Paul has here as he wrote this. He says, I consider everything a loss. And he's talking about all that he grew up with, all the advantages, all the different things that he had in life. He says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing worth, the greater worth, the exceeding worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. And in verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead.
Right.
And I appreciate his perspective here that, first of all, Jesus is greater than everything else we have. Mm-hmm. He's greater. And if we believe he's greater, then our hearts should be the same here, that we say, man, I want to know Christ. I want to know Jesus better because he is better than everything. And want to know Jesus even so much to the point that we would take on Paul's mindset here of, I even want to know his sufferings and understand him even on that level of suffering with Christ. And all of us should take on that heart this summer. Man, I want to know Jesus better.
Come on.
As much of him as I can. You know, maybe some of you have seen, and you know, fortunately we don't see as many commercials now as we used to. When my kids see a 1.5 minute commercial and they're freaking out to skip it, I'm like, y'all don't know what it was like growing up. You couldn't skip commercials, right? you had to sit there and watch maybe 5 minutes of commercials a couple times during an episode of something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? And so maybe in the time of your life, you've seen a paper towel commercial, right? And it'll be maybe Bounty or whatever, showing how great they do absorbing something compared to the other brands that are just trash, right? Yep. It's like, wow, here's a spill, and you wipe up the two things, and one of them's like soaking wet and barely... picked up the mess, and the other one absorbed all of it. They soaked it all in, and that was the better one, right? One soaks a little and the other gets all of it. And I think this summer, if you could just have that illustration, that image in your mind of, hey, I want to dive into Jesus and be more like the one that absorbs as much of it as I can, right? I don't want to just like dip the corner of my towel in Jesus. No, I want to fully absorb. I want to get as much of Jesus as possible, to know him as much as possible, to live as close to him as possible. And so to inspire us towards this, to getting as much of Jesus as possible, I want to look at a story in Matthew. And this story is called The Transfiguration of Jesus. Have you read this, seen this before?
Yes, sir.
Right, the transfiguration. That basically just means the transformation, a transformation of his figure, what they were able to see. And this story is in Matthew, but also in Mark and Luke. And there's not a lot of stories that are in all three of those synoptic gospels. And when one of them is in all three, it should tell you, wow, this must have been a really important experience that all three of them would include this. So you can turn over to Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to read the Transfiguration, because this was a time where Jesus allowed three of his closest disciples to see him more fully than anyone else yet had gotten to see him.
Right.
And I really believe that that experience is something Jesus wants all of us to experience as well. That we would be able to see Jesus more fully, more clearly than we ever have before.
Amen.
And so in Matthew chapter 17, we'll dig into this. You guys with me?
Yes. Yeah.
Matthew 17, we'll kind of chop it up into pieces and go through, starting with verses 1 to 3. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. In the book of Luke, it adds that the reason they went up there, Jesus says, was for them to pray together. So Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a high mountain so they can get some time to connect with Jesus, to connect with God, and to pray. While they're up there, in verse 2, it says, there he was transfigured before them. His form changed. His form transformed. It says, his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now, if you saw this, you'd probably write about it, right? I mean, this was a unique and special experience. And so halfway through Jesus' ministry, he takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain for this life-changing experience. And the main point here is that Jesus wanted them to see who he really was more clearly.
Right.
Right, we know now, we all know, and hopefully we all believe that Jesus was God's son, right? God's embodiment on earth. God in human flesh. Mm-hmm. We know Jesus is Lord, King of kings, and that he is Savior, the Messiah. We know this. We've seen this. But for them, up to this point, they had seen some miracles. They had heard his incredible teachings. But the truth was that they didn't yet fully grasp all of who Jesus really was.
Yep.
Like, they didn't totally get it yet. And so Jesus takes them up for this experience where he transforms before them so they could see him more clearly. And some of what it says here, as they saw the fuller Jesus, is that Jesus' face shone like the sun. Mm. And you guys, I don't know if you've ever tried to look at the sun before, but you can't do it, right?
Don't do it.
And you try a little bit and it just blurs your vision even for a while, right? I don't recommend trying this, right? But Jesus, they saw, oh my gosh, there's something different about him here. We can't even look at him. And then it says also his clothes became as white as the light. All of this obviously a representative of His holiness, of His purity, right? Of His awesomeness, as shining like the sun in His face and in His clothes. But then it also says that two very important people showed up, right? It says they saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus.
Wow.
And really, Moses was the most respected Old Testament figure. He was the one who led God's people out of slavery in Egypt, to really led them to become their identifiable people of Israel, but also the one who gave them the law that the Jews followed, right? And followed very closely. So Moses was kind of representative, being there that day. He was the representation of God's whole Old Testament law. And then you have Elijah, who is known as the greatest prophet. And Elijah has a lot of foreshadowing also of Jesus' ministry. But Elijah's there kind of representing the prophets. And if you go into the Old Testament, you can basically break it up into the law and the prophets. And so here is Moses embodying the law and Elijah embodying the prophets, both here now talking with Jesus. Basically a visual support of Jesus, and unity with Jesus is what they were seeing. Wow, the law and the prophets respect Jesus, accept Jesus. And what we should get from that, and what it must have meant for them, was that this experience of seeing Him shining, seeing Him with these two guys, should have led to them having a greater awe of
right.
Jesus.
Yeah.
A greater amazement at, wow, this is who Jesus really is. Greater respect for Jesus, and greater admiration for Him as well. And so, I'd call all of us to reflect this morning, just as they had this experience, how is your view of Jesus? Have you settled for the sum of Jesus that you already know? Or do you want to know Him better? Right? All of us in here, we know Jesus to some extent. We've seen some of Him. We've read some about Him. Right? But like Peter, James, and John, do you want to see more? Do you want to know Him better? Or have you settled for the sum of Jesus that you already have? We should want as much as possible.
Yeah.
Let's keep reading here. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." No doubt. "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three tents or three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Unlike ICMC, they all get their own room, right? "I'll set up these three tents. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" You know, the voice of God must have been shocking to hear right there. But Peter's request to put up three tents, it seems nice, right? But it also comes from still yet a limited perspective on who Jesus is. Because setting up three equal shelters would indicate that the three of them are of the same honor, that all three of them are kind of worthy of the same dwelling place. But what Peter learns from this experience is that Jesus is not just equal with Moses and Elijah, equal with the lawgiver and the prophets. No, Jesus is above the law. Jesus is above the prophets. Jesus is the one who gave to the lawgiver, the one who spoke to the prophets who spoke for God. Right? Jesus was above both the law and the prophets. And God makes this clear by straight up interrupting Peter, right? Peter's like, "Hey, this is good to be here. I can set up a tent for you guys." While he's in the middle of talking, it says, God speaks from the cloud. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud came. And so God makes this clear by interrupting Peter and clarifying for all of them there even more who Jesus is. And for any of you who have read the Old Testament, the fact that a cloud appears should be significant to you.
Right.
Even the use of a tent here. Right? God appears in a bright cloud over them. And so in the Old Testament, while the Israelites wandered through the desert for 40 years, They worshiped God through what was called the tabernacle, which really was a tent that was set up. And God, throughout those 40 years in the wilderness, God dwelled over his people in the form of a cloud. Mm-hmm. Right? That cloud was the indication of God's presence. When the cloud moved, they packed up and moved. When the cloud rested, they rested. Because God's presence dwelt through the cloud in those tents, the tabernacle that they set up. And so here they are on the mountain, and just like God spoke to Moses from the cloud, now here is God speaking to them through a cloud. And you also get this visual of the tents being brought up. And what God says from the cloud is really similar to what God also said when Jesus got baptized. And if you read earlier in Matthew chapter 3, it's very similar what God has to say about Jesus. And
right.
What he says should be what we listen to. And really, he says four things. He says, "This is my son," right? Basically saying, "This is my of me. This is from me. This is part of me. This is my embodiment. This is my son." Second thing he says is, "Whom I love." The third thing he says is, "With him I am well pleased." And the last thing he says is, "Listen to him." And that doesn't just mean hear him out. It means obey him.
Right.
Listen to him. Do what he says. And so God interrupted Peter because they needed to hear something. And because we need to hear something very clear about who Jesus is. And it's so important that we get this. Like, we've got to really get who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. Right? Jesus is not just another good man.
Right.
Jesus is not another lawgiver. Right? Jesus is not just another teacher. He's not just another prophet. He's not just another religious leader. No, Jesus is God.
Right. Yep.
Jesus is God's voice. Jesus is God's representative. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is our law. He is our Lord. He is our teacher.
Amen.
That's who Jesus is. And so just like for them, Jesus is who we should look to. Right? Jesus is who we should look to for who God is, for how to live as God's children, because he is God's son. Jesus is who we should love. Okay, that's whom God loves. That's who I should love. We were made to be like God. This is who God loves. This is who I should love. Right? God also said, "With him I am well pleased." Mm-hmm. If Jesus is who God is pleased with, then Jesus is also who you and I should be pleased with. Mm-hmm. Right? And so rather than looking to other people as our example, or looking to other people for love, or looking to other people to find fulfillment, or spending our lives trying to please people, we should look to Jesus, to be pleased with him, to love him, to soak in Jesus.
Yep.
Because what they needed to hear, what we need to hear, is that nothing, no one will satisfy like Jesus can.
That's right.
No other person, no career, no status, no one is like Jesus.
Amen.
And just like they experienced, the more that we see Jesus, the more that we hear Jesus, the more that we believe him, the more we will love him.
Yeah.
And the more we love him, the more we will listen to him. That like them, if we get who he is, then we get, oh, I should listen to him.
Yeah.
I should obey him with my life. And so, you know, we see in our lives that whoever we obey the most, whoever we listen to the most, whoever we seek to please the most, that's who, or that's where, you're most looking for fulfillment or satisfaction from.
Wow.
Right? Whoever you listen to and obey the most, that's who you're looking to please the most. Mm. And so if we see clearly who Jesus is, we should be looking the most to listen to and obey and to please him. We've got to know that You will keep selling your life short, keep selling yourself short, until it's Jesus who you're focusing on the most.
Right. That's right.
He's the best, and He gives the best. Amen?
Amen.
Let's keep going in the story. You guys with me?
Yep.
Keep reading here. Matthew 17, verse 6 to 7. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, He said. Don't be afraid. Now, I think their response to fall face down on the ground terrified was a very appropriate response. Right? If you just saw Moses and Elijah show up talking to this guy you've been following, and his face is shining like lightning, and then a bright cloud comes, and the voice of God speaks through it and says this and demands to listen to Him. I mean, all of us, unless we're absolutely arrogant, would fall down and go have some real reverence and fear, right?
Yeah.
I think their response is appropriate. But then you've also got to see how Jesus responded. He doesn't lean into their fear. He leans into them with love and with grace and with acceptance. Mm-hmm. And here's what we got to get, is that Jesus shows us who God is. If you want to know who God is, you can look at Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we might grow up because of, you know, different religious experiences or things people say or things we've experienced with a warped view of, well, what is God like and who is God and what is His character and nature? But if you want to know who God really is, you look at Jesus. And the truth is that God is a God of blinding holiness. He is a God of deep holiness. A God who deserves our reverence, our respect, for us to fall face down before Him, to have some fear, to have some true worship and awe in that sense.
Yeah.
Right, that He is the God who we sinned against. And we need to understand we need forgiveness from. We need mercy from. We need grace from. That is who God is. But in this verse, we also see that God, that Jesus is a God who came to us.
Mm-hmm.
Who stoops down to us. Who bends down when we're fallen in that place. Who bends down to our level and lifts us up from there.
That's right.
Who says to us, get up, don't be afraid. That God is also a God who isn't turned off in the slightest or intimidated at all by your weakness, by your mess,
Amen.
By your mistakes. And just like He called them, He calls us to get up, to not be afraid, and to follow Him. And it's not one of those is more true than the other. Both of those are who God is. And both of those are who we need to see God as.
Good stuff.
And so do you see God in both of these ways in your life?
Yeah.
And if it's more the grace of God that you need to see, or maybe it's more the holiness of God, which of those do you need to see more clearly the full picture of who Jesus is? You know, before we close this out with the last section of this, I just want to say the beautiful thing, and what we see here is that when we follow Jesus, by His grace, we also become God's sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And so what God says about Jesus here, this is my Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased, that's also, when you were baptized into Christ and clothed yourselves with Him, Galatians 3 says, you become His sons and daughters. That the way God views Jesus is the way now God views you. For He says, this is my daughter, my son. With him or her I am well pleased. And I love them. That's how God views you. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So lastly, Matthew 17, verses 8 and 9. So after Jesus says, get up, it says, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. And so all three of them went on to talk about this after that, right? But I love this line right here, and I think it's one we should really write on our hearts and focus on. It says, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Right? And imagine your life defined by that line right there, that as you're going through things and as you're hearing stuff and seeing a lot of different people, that where you would land is you'd look up and it would say, man, She saw no one except Jesus.
Amen.
He saw no one except Jesus. Not Moses, not Elijah, not each other. All they saw in that moment was Jesus.
Right.
And what a way to try to live to where who we're seeing, all we're seeing, is Jesus. Through this whole experience in Matthew 17, this whole process, they had to deal with both false assumptions of who Jesus was, false limited perspectives on who Jesus was, fear they had to deal with. But by the end, Jesus was all they could see. And so we need to work through those things as we go through life so that Jesus is all we can see as well. You know, as I go through different situations in my life, or even different challenges that come up, and they might be bigger ones, personal ones, family ones, stuff that comes up in the church, things can happen that I can really get stuck on sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right? I could get stuck in a lot of different ways. I could get stuck in situations focusing on people. Right? What are they feeling? What are they thinking? What will they think about me saying this or doing this? I could get stuck focusing on people. Sometimes I could get stuck on different fears that I have. Right? It's all the what ifs. Well, what if it goes this way? What if this happens? What if he says this or thinks that? Or, right? You could get trapped by fear in the what ifs.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's fears of insecurity. Maybe it's fears of conflict. Right? We could get stuck in fear sometimes.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I just get stuck focusing on, well, what do I want?
Yeah.
What do I think?
Keep it real.
Or what do I see?
Yep.
Right? I could get stuck in all of that different stuff. And the reasons that happens is because I'm soaking up, I'm absorbing, I'm soaking up so much from the world, from other people, from myself, but not soaking up Jesus. And if I would just soak up Jesus, then I would be like this, and that's all I would be able to see, and then I would see with the light. I would see clearly. You've got to know about yourself. As much as we want to be independent, as what we want to think, oh, I'm, you know, nobody influences me or I'm not influenced by anything. The truth is, we are all sponges.
Yeah.
And we soak stuff up. We're picking stuff up every day. We're picking up how to think, how to feel, how to live, what to do, what to spend our money on, what to focus our life on, what matters, what's right, what's true. We're soaking up stuff from tons of different places. There's 1,000 different voices. There's 1,000 different views. But we need to know that at the end of the day, there is only one God. There is only one Jesus. And God said, "This is my son. Listen to him." And if we believe God created us, gave us life, breath, and everything else, then instead of listening to those 1,000 other voices, we should try to just listen to him. And if we believe that Jesus is who God says he is, then we'll want to keep learning, keep focusing on Jesus so that we could get to a point where we just see Jesus as well. And so some of these questions we can ask ourselves to keep learning Jesus better is just keep diving deeper into, well, who is Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Who is he? Right? What? Learning more about him, about his life, about his character. Right? What does Jesus say? Learning what he said, his words more and more. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do for me? What is he calling me to do? Right? As you go through situations, a good question to ask is, where is Jesus in this? Right? This situation, this decision I'm making, where is Jesus in this? Am I bringing him into this? And if you don't see Jesus in a situation or a thought or a feeling or whatever it is, then ask, how can I bring Jesus into this? How can I bring Jesus into this more? This is what I'm trying to do more and more and to keep doing. And so is there some perspective on your life or on yourself, the world or the church or on discipleship that you need to clarify by seeing Jesus more closely?
Amen.
Right? Or is there any situation or fear that you're living with, maybe of God, the future, things God is calling you to do, or fear of people that's seizing you and making you look down, that you need to look up and see Jesus through to find courage and to not be afraid? Right? What is a situation or fear that you need to look to Jesus with? You know, like Jesus with these three disciples, I believe God wants all of us to see Jesus more closely and to soak him in as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, we don't want something like soaking Jesus more to be theory. You want it to be practice, something you're actually doing. And really, the answers of how to do this always come back to a lot of the same simple principles. But it's whether you're really doing them or not, or engaging with them with authenticity,
right,
and eagerness and effort. You know, just to give you four practicals and how to soak up Jesus this summer, I want to call all of us to practice all of these with all of our heart. And the first one is to be immersed in prayer. Right? In Luke, it said Jesus took them up the mountain to pray. Right? He was taking them to see and to hear God more closely, and part of that was prayer. And so I want to urge all of us this summer, let's prioritize prayer this summer.
Amen.
Prioritize your prayer life. Pray every day. Slow down some time in your day to meditate on God and to talk to Him. Make prayer not just routine, but a time of connection.
Yeah.
Don't just pray once, but pray throughout your day.
Right.
Maybe once a week, have a special time of prayer. Right? Decide, okay, Friday mornings, Saturday nights, Monday afternoon, whatever works best for you. This summer, I'm going to have a special time of prayer. Mm. Maybe it's a special place or whatever that is. Maybe like Jesus, you take two or three close friends for some special time of prayer sometime this summer.
It.
Imagine if once this summer, two or three of you gathered together, went somewhere special for a solid hour or two of just praying together. Mm. Right? But whatever that looks like, immerse yourself in prayer. Another way to soak up Jesus is to be washing ourselves in God's Word. This is terminology used in Ephesians chapter 5, that we're washed through God's Word. And so, as they were consumed with God's Word when they heard Him speak from the cloud, we want to be immersing and soaking ourselves into God's Word as well. That helps us so much to know Jesus better. That's where we actually get to see Him, to hear Him, what He said, how He lived. And so I want to call all of us, read your Bible every day this summer.
Amen.
Not just read it, but have a plan. Pick a book of the Bible, maybe a gospel where you could really see Jesus closely. Maybe some other book you've been wanting to study out, but to make that a priority, to read your Bible every day, to take notes, to put distractions away. Maybe you memorize one verse a week. Maybe you go read somewhere special once a week, but to read every day, not just to read, but to read with reverence and to read with eagerness that, man, this is God speaking to me through His Word. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
The third thing we see in this passage is that we soak up Jesus by diving into discipleship. Right? It was not just hearing Jesus, not just seeing Jesus, but obeying Jesus. Right? Actually getting up and following Him, doing what He was calling them to do. You never really know someone until you've walked in their shoes.
Mm.
Right? We could all be close to each other to some degree, but if we actually spent a whole day, hey, I'm just going to, from when you wake up to when you go to bed, I'm just going to follow you today.
Wow.
I mean, you would really get to know that person a lot better, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is where we got to know, like, okay, if I really want to know Jesus better, if I'm just reading, if I'm just showing up to church, if I'm just praying, I'm going to always be limited in how much of Him I'm really soaking in.
That's right.
Until we actually start repenting of that sin. Start getting open about that temptation in our life. Start serving. Start using our gifts. Start sharing our faith and helping others become disciples. Start, until we actually start stepping in Jesus' footsteps, we're only soaking up so much of Him. And so this summer, dive into discipleship. And the last practical is let Jesus flow out. What I mean by that is talk about Him. Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Meaning, after I rose from the dead, tell people about this, right? And so Jesus expects us to talk about Him.
Yeah.
When we talk about things, we get more acquainted with the thing we're talking about, right? And so this summer, spending time telling other people about Jesus. As you're learning about Him, talk about it. What you're learning about Him, tell people what you're learning about
Him.
Non-Christians, people you're reaching out to, fellow disciples, share with each other. Here's what I'm learning about Jesus. Here's what I'm growing in to be more like Jesus. People don't want to be talked to about religion. But maybe you could talk to people about Jesus, about this person that you believe in, that you're learning about. If you're soaking in Jesus, then Jesus should be coming out of our mouths. Yeah. A bonus number five, practical, is if you've not become a Christian yet, that's one great way to soak up Jesus.
Amen.
To repent and to be baptized, immersed in water. You can't really soak yourself more than that.
Amen.
To be fully immersed into Christ and to be filled with Him. Maybe this is the summer you decide to get baptized and become a disciple of Jesus.
Amen.
As we do all this soaking in of Jesus through all these different ways, like I've said, it should change us. Immersing yourself in prayer, diving into God's Word and discipleship, all of this, it should result in a transformed person. You know, like a sponge, when you're squeezed, what will come out is whatever was soaked in. Whatever you've been soaking in, when life squeezes you, that's what's going to come out. You know, when times of testing, when hardship, when temptation, when stress, when, you know, a moment that you need to be courageous, when those moments come and you're being squeezed, what's going to come out is whatever you've been soaking in. And if you've been soaking in Jesus, then that's what's going to come out.
Right.
Faithfulness, righteousness, light, courage. That's what's going to come out if you've been soaking in Jesus. It changes you. But if you've been soaking in worldly attitudes, worldly thinking, then when you're squeezed, when you're tested, when you're tempted, then that's what's going to come out of you instead. And so that's why we need to be soaking in Jesus. And if we're soaking in Jesus, it will change us. The Greek word for transfigured is this word metamorpho. And it's the same root as the word metanoia. Mm-hmm. We all know the Greek word metanoia is the word for
repent.
Right? And that means to change, to be transformed from the inside out. Jesus was transfigured before them. They saw Him more clearly, and it changed them. The more clearly we see Jesus, the more it should cause us to repent.
Right.
The more it should transform, transfigure us as well. And so what have you been soaking in? And how can you intentionally focus on soaking in Jesus and transforming more into Him this summer in your life? In a moment here, we're going to take communion. So if you need a cup, go ahead and raise your hand. And I want to close out reading one verse and then a poem that will help us to focus on Jesus.
Come on, Rob.
In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Ultimately, because of the cross, your life should not be sprinkled with Jesus, dipped in Jesus, should not be a peripheral Jesus or a sometimes Jesus or even a son of Jesus. Your life should be soaked in Jesus, fixed on Jesus, life with Jesus. So I want to just close out before we pray for communion, reading this poem from this excellent book called King Jesus by my father-in-law, actually, G.C. Kennard. Awesome book if you want to dive into Jesus' life more. But he wrote this poem in here called The With Jesus Life. And I remember Steve reading this in a message I heard him preach once and really being impacted by it, especially towards the latter half. And so as we focus on soaking in Jesus, I think this poem will help us to soak Jesus in, to live this with Jesus life. It says, "Jesus through the night. Jesus at sunrise. Jesus when the alarm rings. Jesus with the first cup of coffee. Jesus in our quiet time. Jesus in our morning workout. Jesus as we leave the house. Jesus on the morning commute. Jesus in the workplace. Jesus on the campus. Jesus when we take a test. Jesus at lunchtime, Jesus during the afternoon slump, Jesus on the commute home, Jesus at the dinner table, Jesus on the relaxing evening, Jesus on the golf course, Jesus on the football field, Jesus playing Xbox, Jesus at the movies, Jesus at Starbucks, Jesus at the mall, Jesus in the living room, Jesus when we're far from home, Jesus when we're on the internet, Jesus when we answer emails, Jesus in our text messages, Jesus when we're on the phone, Jesus when we serve the poor, Jesus when we encourage a friend, Jesus when we go to bed, Jesus when we sleep, Jesus when we dream, Jesus when we wake up, Jesus for each new day, Jesus in every single thing we do, Jesus in every word, Jesus in every conversation, Jesus in every joke, Jesus in every comment, Jesus when we sneeze, Jesus in every moment, Jesus in every space, Jesus in every place, Jesus in every relationship, Jesus with mom and dad, Jesus with our spouse, Jesus with our kids, Jesus with our neighbors, Jesus in every action, Jesus in every inaction, Jesus when we're alone, Jesus with our enemies, Jesus with our friends, Jesus when we're up or down, Jesus when we're gray or blue, Jesus when we are on top of the world, Jesus when the world's on top of us, Jesus in good times, Jesus in bad, Jesus in feast, Jesus in famine, Jesus in joy, Jesus in sorrow, Jesus in ecstasy, Jesus in tragedy, Jesus in pleasure, Jesus in pain, Jesus in strength, Jesus in weakness, Jesus in smiles, Jesus in frowns, Jesus up, Jesus down, Jesus right, Jesus left, Jesus forward, Jesus behind, and Jesus in between, Jesus inside, Jesus outside, Jesus upside down, Jesus 360, Jesus 24/7. Jesus with us, the with Jesus life. Jesus, 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 I love thee. What a friend we have in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus keeps me near the cross. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Jesus, lover of my soul. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Clothed in Jesus, wrapped in Jesus, enveloped in Jesus, encircled in Jesus, enmeshed in Jesus, engulfed in Jesus, and even embalmed in Jesus. Maranatha, come, O Lord, come quickly, King Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer as we take the bread and cup. Good morning, Father. Lord, I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving us your Son, whom you loved, with whom you were pleased, in our place on the cross. Thank you that he is our everything. And I pray that each of us would decide this summer to soak in as much of Jesus as possible. Help him to be our everything. As is said, take the world, but give us Jesus. Thank you for the cross, which reminds us how much you love us, how incredible Jesus is, and I pray that we will live a life worthy in response. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.